USA.org today.
Secretary of Defense Robert Gates says there's severe consequences for an Afghan failure, and that's where this road begins for this part of the journey and this hour of America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, and here we are once again talking about what happened in the previous day and the fallout from it. So confronted by Congress, really being smashed about, the president's chief military guy and some of the diplomatic advisors as well insist that 30,000 troops into Afghanistan was the best shot at winning the war and staving off those consequences for the United States and the world. So, as I mentioned, it got a little cantankerous, especially with Gates. He wasn't the only one there. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was there, and so was, of course, Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen. They all testified on the Hill, but it got pretty heated with Gates and McCain when McCain was questioning him about the arbitrary timeline, July of 2011, to start to bring American forces home. It's really sunk in with a lot of people the day after. Wow, is this what you do in a situation where you say you're in a war against the elusive Taliban and terrorism and Al-Qaeda, etc., and Gates continued to say over and over again that you can't defeat Al-Qaeda and the ideology without improving and stabilizing what the security is and what the situation is in Afghanistan. Certainly, and I mentioned this in a previous show, according to the Gallup poll and many others, voter support for the war is absolutely on the decline. When many of the Democrats were asked about escalation and what their thoughts were on adding another shot in the arm of troops, it was certainly a mixed bag. In fact, what most wanted was the drawdown date. So I think this was definitely a political move, to say the least. So many continue to comment, including Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina and Homeland Security Czar, I'm going to call her, Janet Napolitano. Here's what they both had to say.
Well, number one, I asked the witnesses, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it for us to be successful in Afghanistan? What would a failed state mean to this country, 10 being catastrophic or great? They all said it was a 10. So the problem I've got is the 30,000 troops seems to be enough, according to the generals. What does the July 2011 announcement about withdrawing mean? Does it mean we're going to leave no matter what? Secretary Gates, in his opening statement to Senator Levin, said 2011 wasn't conditions-based. If that's true, then we've undercut this strategy. I asked a question in December 2010, when you evaluate this strategy, are you just evaluating how quickly you'll withdraw in 2011? Or is it possible not to withdraw at all? Are we locked into withdrawing? And Secretary of State Clinton said we're not locked into withdrawing, which is music to my ears and I think will be bad news for the enemy. I hope that's the final answer. Well, the point is that we do have troops stationed throughout the world. The problem with Afghanistan and Iraq is we have troops dying. That's what matters the most, is to bring about security and reduce the level of violence so Afghanistan can become stable. But if you believe it is a 10 to lose in Afghanistan, why would you create a condition of leaving before the job is done? The moment you announce troops going in, you're talking about them coming out. That is logically inconsistent, and I think I've got the answer today that I was looking for, that no, we have not locked ourselves into leaving in 2011.
You know, I didn't pay that much attention to it in that way. I think the central message was that he is adding troops to the war in Afghanistan to protect the homeland, to make sure that al-Qaeda is limited in terms of its geographic residence, that we go after the leadership. And even though we know there are al-Qaeda and al-Qaeda wannabes around the world and indeed within the United States, that we're really going at them where they are centered,
sure,
where their focus is. Well, IEDs are just a common technique now used because for relatively low technology, relatively little expense or training, you can cause a lot of death, a lot of reaction, a lot of death, injury, and the like. And so yesterday, we had a meeting with IED experts from around the country to talk about how we can improve technology for prevention, protection, and reaction.
All right, so the idea of the IEDs and Homeland Security being concerned about terrorism coming here, of course we're concerned about that, but can you imagine if we had to be worried about IEDs in general in our daily life, whether you're living in Dallas or you're living out in the country somewhere in Iowa, let's say, for example, like your good pal Jana. I shudder to think about that, and it's a good reminder, and just in even using that terminology, at least we forget what happened back on 9/11 to so many of those people that ended up, unfortunately, buried in Manhattan, and not by choice. They were flying off to vacations for business meetings and ended up in a very tragic situation, to say the least, and same with the people that ended up in the field in Shanksville and the Pentagon. Who knew, who thought that a day that turned out to be so beautiful and early in that morning that would end up being what happened. And the idea that we would live wondering, looking over our shoulder, moving around gingerly like walking on eggshells because we're not really sure if there's danger lurking anywhere near us, and particularly if you get down to the barest level when you're talking about IEDs. And that's exactly what the soldiers have to deal with in Afghanistan. And the more you see footage of what that's like, the more frightening that becomes, and how many lives hang in the balance while this was going on in Afghanistan, waiting and waiting and waiting for 3 months for something to happen after really 10 meetings in all with a so-called war council that included Gates and Clinton and the same familiar faces. And this is what we have as a result of it, 2011, loosely 2011, and 30,000. Now, the 30,000, it would have been great to see the full amount, but 30,000 better than was initially being forecasted. So 30,000 at least will give backup to so many of those guys that find themselves walking in those villages and in situations where they're being surrounded and have no idea and they're looking for air support. This should help a lot, and especially because they're going to be deployed almost immediately by Christmas. The first Marines should hit the ground there, so that's literally in a handful of weeks. That's the very, very best news, at least from what I think is, at best, mixed news. That's the best thing that you can take out of it. 800-259-5791. Stick around.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity quality and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Gold isn't for you?
Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
The headlines that might have been buried. Charlie Gibson, don't know who you watch, if you watch even any of the national newscasts, because they had come on in such an odd hour for a lot of people because we're not doing that traditional thing anymore where you're at 9 to 5ers. But Charlie Gibson has a final world news date. Seems like he's been there forever, and it actually hasn't been that long. He stepped in for Elizabeth Vargas and Bob Woodruff. But he's done December 21st. So Diane Sawyer is jumping in. You know, you got two female anchors, Katie Couric and Diane Sawyer. And, of course, Brian Williams, who is celebrating his fifth year in the lead chair, once the most prestigious place, or one of them anyway, that you could be in broadcasting. So Diane Sawyer leaving the morning program, headed for the evening slot. And, boy, they say that the planned transition strategy is the anti-Katie strategy. So what they're talking about is whatever Katie Couric's doing, they're doing the opposite of that, basically. And they're being very low-key. Versus when Katie Couric came in and there was all this hoopla about her being moved to this or joining the CBS Evening News team. And I think Gibson surprised a lot of people in September when he announced that he was going to step down. But when you have a career like that where you've been on the air for how many years has he been on the air? And he has had the plum gigs. I mean, he can afford to retire. But I think a lot of people like Charlie Gibson. So I think it might be kind of a void for ABC News. But does Diane Sawyer fit that position? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, wait and see, I guess. And it is intriguing that the Evening News does have two females, however. I was just made to learn this about Comcast. I don't know how you feel about cable companies. I have Time Warner, but, and I can't even begin to tell you some of the interesting problems that I've had with Time Warner. Frankly, I think it's brutal, but Comcast is going to pay $13.75 billion for NBC. Yeah, they're going to get a big chunk of that. So look for NBC to get screwed up sometime soon. And that's a whole lot of money. They must be making some serious do-re-mi over at Comcast. And what they're going to do is they're going to pay that money in cash in assets to gain control of NBC Universal. That is huge. So they're going to announce that earlier this morning, and that would actually make Comcast the nation's biggest cable TV provider. It would call for them to spend $6.5 billion in cash and then contribute cable channels worth $7.25 billion for a 51% stake in NBC Universal. So, and then they've got to do their own borrowing against that. But that's a big, 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 big change there to have them have a chunk of that. I wonder what the intentions are, I guess, to blow it out across the across Comcast, what some of the products are. Wow. See, this is stuff you don't have to worry about, Donovan, because you don't have to wait for the cable guy. You don't have to experience problems with your cable. And I want you to tell the listeners why that is.
I believe you're referencing the fact that I don't own a television.
Yes, thank you very much. Give that man a cigar, or at least a pat on the back. Because you don't have a television, you don't have to deal with the crazy nonsense that we have to deal with waiting for somebody to show up to install, or the cable goes out. And see, this always happens. I mean, no joke. You're in the middle of watching some movie or some juicy something or other, and you hardly ever watch the tube, and there you are sitting there watching it. You're enthralled, whatever it is, the Hallmark movie or Larry King or whatever, and the cable goes out, and you are stuck, and there is no answers. Nobody knows what you want to know the end of. It's crazy. And I cannot tell you how many times. Nothing is perfect, and no cable company would be perfect because there are things that happen, Mother Nature, etc. But especially with the waiting thing, everybody works. So who's left for the most part? So how many people are left at home waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the cable guy doesn't show up? That's happened to me twice, where they got so backed up or whatever, and they didn't show up, so I spent however much chunk of a time waiting for the cable company. See, just one of the many reasons Donovan might be the smartest guy in the bunch of all of us, because he doesn't have to worry about anything to do with the tube, because he doesn't have it, and he can just go on the internet anymore, including America Tonight. You can stream all over the place anymore. You can go on the internet and go to Hulu, for example, and if you missed a show, you can watch it the next day. It's you're not tied to the tube and having no other place to go. I mean, that's part of what I'm talking about with the anchors, with Katie Couric or Diane Sawyer or even Brian Williams. The audience is so much different than it used to be, because that was the game. That was the biggest game in town. You watched the evening news. You knew what they were covering on the evening news. Now, with the advent of cable, the internet so big, and the immediacy factor is huge now more than ever. It's the speed of lightning we get our news.
The latest on Tiger Woods, the outline of the president's speech about Afghanistan at West Point, you name it. So very few people, one, are interested in evening news, and two, would even get home in time to see the evening news, which actually might be a part of the bigger problem. Your audience, the potential audience anyway, has really, really dropped off. And, you know, that's part of the problem I think that the networks are struggling with. The morning shows are doing so much better. Here's another follow-up to Mike Huckabee. You catch him on Fox. He's the former Arkansas governor who is running, ran for president last time around. Thought is that he'll run for president again. He said if he was presented with the same evidence today that he was 9 years ago, he would make the same exact decision, and that is to commute the sentence of an Arkansas felon who this past week shot and killed in cold blood four police officers in Washington, not very far from Seattle. The upshot is the former governor and GOP presidential candidate told a local TV station in Indiana that his decision to lessen the 108-year sentence of Maurice Clemens, who was convicted of aggravated robbery when he was just 17, was the right one to make, one that others in his shoes would have done as well. Because Clemens, at that point, was not a cop killer. He wasn't even arrested for some violent crimes. He was a fugitive from justice at that point is where he was. And then that's what Huckabee's saying, is, look, he did some dumb things and criminal things, but I don't know of a single person who can look me in the eye and tell me they didn't have the same file in front of them if they had that they wouldn't believe that maybe 47 years was more than appropriate sentence for what he did as a minor. But I'm sure Huckabee just had to have blinked when he heard that Clemens gunned down those four officers who were just starting their day. And he's been bashed with a ton of criticism, but he's sticking to his guns. You know, you got to admire that. He's giving it to the people straight, saying he would do the same, very same thing, instead of taking the easy way out and saying, oh, gosh, no, under the circumstances, much different than at the point where I had to make a decision. So, yeah, that wouldn't have, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's about the timeline of this. You know, here's the thing, and this is what I don't understand, that the judges in Washington knew that he raped a kid. And now he's had several psychotic episodes. How was he able to get out on bail? I mean, how do you tell that to the families of these dead police officers? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Promise to meet you on the flip side.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Would you like some of Uncle Sam's money back? you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM stimulus. That's right. If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, this message is vitally important. Please listen. Uncle Sam has authorized a government-backed program through the FHA called HECM or HECM. It is authorized under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Senior homeowners 62 or older can apply for this increased stimulus program for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Right now, seniors are taking advantage of this program's benefits using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, or make home repairs. But the money is yours to use as you wish. To learn more and see how much HECM money you could qualify for, go to rmapply.com. The application is free. Visit rmapply.com or call for a no-obligation evaluation at 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Time is like a bullet from behind. I run for cover just like you.
We have record snows in Canada and massive snow in Europe. And why am I bringing this up? Remember we used to always talk about the weather here on America Tonight? I used to say it's the biggest common denominator because it's an instant conversation when you get on any elevator anywhere, any place in the world. Well, here was the conversation where the satellite studio that I happen to be broadcasting from in Dallas-Fort Worth, the big story in this neck of the woods that was reported nationally all over the place is the fact that there was snow. Snow. Who says that it doesn't snow in Texas? Of course, it didn't stick. I mean, it's not like everybody ran out and decided to rent snowboards or sleds or they were hoping perhaps to jump on a snowmobile. No, because you would have hit nothing but pavement. But there were flakes in the air, and it is always interesting to see the reaction of people who aren't used to seeing snow when suddenly the white stuff appears, and it is very, very cold. I don't know what kind of weather that many of you are enjoying right now or not enjoying. Naturally, in the Northeast, it's cooler, and in the Midwest, obviously. Some of your ski areas, you're getting the traditional type weather you would normally get. However, having just come from Florida, normally they have temperatures in the high 70s, maybe lower 80s. Of course, when I was there, they had temperatures in about 60 degrees. So I thought, No fair. I'm calling foul on this. The weather is supposed to stay the same so that I can enjoy that sunshine, but it was not to be. All right, Climate Gate. You know, we've talked about this a bunch now lately here on the show about the emails that were released from the one scientist. And you've got Barbara Boxer saying on the Hill that the hackers should face criminal, at least in a criminal investigation over what happened. I mean, it's now nicknamed, like I said, Climate Gate, but she's saying it's Email Theft Gate, actually poking fun of the whole idea of throwing the gate on the end of this. And, you know, she says, whatever it is, the main issue, are we facing global warming or not? In looking at the emails, even though they were stolen, they're now out in public. So why isn't this being pursued? Now, to be sure, in case you don't know the story, the emails were from scientists at the University of Eastern Anglia, and they were obtained through hacking. And the messages showed that the director of the university's climate research unit is discussing ways to strengthen the unit's case for global warming, which is not good. So climate change skeptics, hello, I just raised my hand, have seized on this whole email thing because it's showing the manipulation in the environmental science. It is very bad timing. I mean, listen, you can find scientists who will swear that there's no doubt that we have global warming. Just look around and talk about the weather and some other things and start to gauge it. But there's also scientists that say it's ridiculous. It's a major push for money, and that's what it is. But really, by those emails being released, it certainly plants a very big, big doubt in some people's minds anyway. So Boxer is saying that her committee might hold hearings into what happened, as others have asked for a criminal investigation that has to be part of any hearings. And she's saying they might or might not, but they'll look into it. And it's interesting in the emails and how that was, who hacked it, and, you know, here you go trying to go after the hacker, but I'd say good luck to anyone trying to arrest that person on Russian soil. It sounds like it might be a little bit difficult. That could be perhaps your biggest problem right out of the gate. However, the timing is so bad on this, with Copenhagen literally just days away, it seems. It couldn't be worse to have that break, just to, again, push a little bit of doubt out into the arena. Speaking of doubt, there's no doubt that some unlikely characters are backing President Obama for what they're calling political courage. One of them was Newt Gingrich, the former House Speaker, and he's saying that Obama is doing what he thinks is right for the country by increasing military presence in Afghanistan, but predicts that Obama will have trouble pulling troops out in 2011, and there's still going to be troops in Afghanistan and Iraq by 2012. But he's saying you have to give the guy credit for the courage, because it's going to split the supporters. And I think a lot of people are unhappy, period, with what he had to say as far as the strategy in Afghanistan. But Gingrich makes an excellent point. Far left, far right, not, and even in between, not a lot of people saying that was the right thing for Obama to do. And, of course, now the question also becomes is, how do we pay for this extended war effort in Afghanistan? Because you're talking about billions upon billions upon billions of more money that has to be shelled out. It could be in a tax coming your way soon, ladies and gentlemen. 1%, whatever the percentage is, it will add up over the course of time. So there is the human price to pay, which is the bigger concern for me, and then there is the financial cost of it. And there's nothing like supporting, and is supporting the troops, which I hope all of you do no matter what, because forget the politics there, but supporting the troops, and then what a kick in the gut to have to pay for the effort, the war efforts itself, and lose money, have money taken out of your wallet, because we're supposedly we're being taxed almost for everything except for the air that we breathe. So you've got to have some reserves build up. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to, you can't issue the IOUs like they do in California. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck trying to figure out a way to pay the extra taxes that you're going to need to pay. Another poll just out, and it's interesting because I always say this, you know, you can manipulate these polls any way you want to, but the Rasmussen report is pretty good because it's a daily thing, and they always seem to be right on top of whatever the news is. And Ben Bernanke begins that formal process for confirmation for that second term as the chair of the Federal Reserve Board. But 41% of Americans think Obama should name someone else to the post. Wow. How many people actually knew who he was? I guess enough to take the survey. In July, most were closely divided over Bernanke's reappointment, even though some of them thought it was a good idea. But apparently not now. Now he's drawn the short end of the stick, and it's not looking good for Ben Bernanke. If they stick to that current number vote-wise, then, again, it could be disastrous because he won't get the office, so somebody else is going to have to step in. Speaking of stepping in, tough times for journalism these days. The Washington Times fired 370 people. Yeah, and the Miami Herald also had to slash people, too. So with a struggling media, now we've got Next and looking for handouts. The newspaper industry is suffering, at least in my lifetime, market failure absolutely across the board, and I don't care what the paper is. It doesn't matter. We've seen it with the New York Times, and we've seen it in Washington Now, and newspapers, I think a lot of people took for granted in the past. I've said this in commuting and jumping on that train. That's the thing. People are reading the papers, not their magazines and books as much as the newspaper. I mean, I think this is what the Post has done so well with, because they're always there for whatever breaking story it is, and they are printing it on the separate back cover and on the front side or whatever. So it's been a vicious cycle for people who believed in the power of the pen. Thousands upon thousands of journalists are losing their jobs. They're looking at the possibility and what implication would it have for democracy, but the possibility of paying some money to some of these journalists so they can survive and continue to put out, rather, this is what you do when you have a hiccup. I think I'm doing pretty good. To put out a paper. And they haven't actually endorsed any proposals, but they're floating around a couple different ones. And like I said, one of them is probably more taxation, but the government is going to have to do something about it if they're concerned about the red flags of what they're seeing. And, it's like Waxman said, it's not the job of Congress to deny the evolution of media, but as we look at various solutions, government's going to have to be involved in one way or another. You can send me your thoughts on, should we bail out newspapers now? Should we bail out the journalists, the people that write the stories for your newspaper, or let them fall? See, unfortunately, they're victims of timing. After the dreaded three letters, nobody wants to hear, we're lending somebody however many billions of dollars to restore it to the way it was. You can throw in a quick call, 800-259-5791. Coming up, we got birthdays this day in history and news you can abuse.
Hello. At ofthefield.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on ofthefield.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carol Stove. CarolStove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. CarolStove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together 2 family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With CarolStove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at CarolStove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with CarolStove.com.
All right, we can feel it. And thank goodness I've lost my hiccups. Isn't that the worst? You didn't hear any hiccups coming across the airwaves in America tonight. That's impressive on my end, I think. Kate Delaney, America tonight. We have news you can abuse coming up in just a second here. Also, birthdays and this day in history. You requested you wanted more about what happened in the past. So if we wind the clock back to this day in history, it is December 3rd, in 1977, after 29 weeks in the number one position on the album charts, Rumours by Fleetwood Mac was replaced at the top spot by the album Simple Dreams. Who produced Simple Dreams? That was Linda Ronstadt. How about that? Also in 1968, the Rules Committee of Major League Baseball announced that in 69, the pitcher's mound would be lowered from 15 to 10 inches in order to get more batting action. What they didn't know at the time was that batters would get taller in 69. Whoops, I guess that didn't work out too good for you. How about that? This is kind of a cool one. In 55, Elvis Presley's first release on the RCA Victor Rector Records was announced. It wasn't Hound Dog or Heartbreak Hotel. The first two sides were actually purchased from Sam Phillips of Sun Records. Mystery Train and I Forgot to Remember to Forget. Elvis was described by his new record company as the most talked about personality in recorded music in the last 10 years. Did they know that he would become a larger than life? Speaking of larger than life, he had his moment in the sun as well. In 44, Frank Sinatra was in the Columbia record studio recording Old Man River. Mm-hmm. I like this one too. In 1924, because I used to be big into boxing and I would just try to just suck up the history of boxing. Well, prize fighter Jack Sharkey lost his boxing license. The New York State Boxing Commission revoked his boxing card after Sharkey knocked down referee Eddie Purdy during a match. Yeah, that was a no-no. I don't know how those guys do it and get in the middle of all that. Here's another one. 84, Miss America, Phyllis George. She was Miss America back in 71. Wife of the governor of Kentucky and an heiress to the Kentucky Fried Chicken fortune. Wow. I didn't realize that. Signed up. She's an heiress to a chicken fortune, and she ended up working with CBS TV. Her work as co-anchor of the CBS Morning News began in 1985. All right. Birthdays. We'll get to those, too, I promise. I'll just give you a little preview here. Who's celebrating a birthday? Brendan Fraser. The Mummy Returns, George of the Jungle, Encino Man, The Quiet American. I like that movie, The Quiet American. He's celebrating a birthday. Katarina Witt, remember her? She was an Olympic gold medalist ice skater. 1965 is when she was born. Julianne Moore, she's been in a ton of movies. Hannibal, Lost World, Jurassic Park, Boogie Nights, The Fugitive, too many to mention. She celebrates a birthday with Daryl Hannah, same year, 1960. And Hannah, of course, one time was the apple of many of a male's eye. She was the Pope in the movie The Pope of Greenwich Village, Steel Magnolias, Blade Runner, Roxanne, the one of the grumpier old men, Dancing at the Blue Iguana, and, you know, too many to mention. All right, let's jump to news you can abuse, because some of this stuff is really crazy. What does Jesus have in common with a crazy Goodwill donation and Christmas in Cleveland? They're all part of this segment. But we start with aliens first, and in Denver we go. Welcome E.T., a Denver man wants to make sure his city is ready to greet the aliens. City officials have notified Jeff Peckman that he has collected enough signatures to place the UFO question on the ballot. Wow. His ballot issue would require Denver to establish a commission aimed at preparing folks in the Mile High City for possible encounters with extraterrestrials. Proposal will be on the August 10th ballot. That'd be kind of a fun thing to see. What would Jesus do? You've seen those bracelets. Show up for jury duty. Court officials in Birmingham, Alabama, didn't believe it when a woman summoned for jury duty told them her name was Jesus Christ, but the former Dorothy Killingsworth said she had a legal name change and showed her driver's license to those around to prove it. Some other potential jurors laughed out loud when the name was called. But Ms. Christ won't be sitting in judgment in a criminal case. Court officials say that Jesus Christ was excused for being disruptive. They say she was asking questions instead of answering them. Wow, that's quite a name change, huh? A funeral home isn't a bank, but some confused bandits apparently couldn't tell the difference. In Calvert County, Maryland, they're looking for two gunmen who tried to rob the Lee Funeral Home, which is next to a PNC bank branch. Duh. Investigators report the lost bandits beat up a funeral home employee, demanding that he turn over the money. The man kept telling the crooks they weren't in the bank. You're not in a bank, stupid. Do you see the coffins? The employee wasn't seriously hurt. They believe the same pair later robbed a SunTrust bank and got away with the cash anyway. Marietta, Ohio, not too far from where I went to school, Athens, Ohio, Ohio University. Cool little town. Anyway, a Goodwill donation has a surprise inside about a pound of pot. Somebody's upset. Police in Marietta, Ohio say that somebody left what looked to be an antique water jug outside of a Goodwill. Workers for the charity found four bags of the weed in the two-gallon jug. The pot has been turned over to police. They say the person who dropped off the jug probably didn't intend to leave the stash, but police say they'll be more than happy if the forgetful donor comes by to claim the weed. Yeah, right. I think you have something of mine, officer. Maybe someone will do that. Finally, Cuyahoga Falls in Ohio as well. The Christmas season will be a little dimmer this year in that area in Cleveland. Live Nation say it's pulling the plug on the elaborate light displays at the Blossom Music Center in Cuyahoga. In past years, more than 2 million lights, wow, have been set up in scores of arrangements over a two-mile course. Concert promoter Live Nation says the light show has been canceled for economic reasons. That's a good reason. There's too many people out of work. They were smart to go ahead and do that. Absolutely. All right, I was talking about days in history and things that have, things that happened in the past. So go back to December 3rd and go way back in the machine. 1818 in Illinois. The name that we're looking for is Superior, and many Superior men have hailed from Illinois, the most famous being Abraham Lincoln. The Illinois rail splitter is buried in the city where he was married and began his legal career, Springfield, the city of Illinois, also known as the Prairie State. Illinois calls the tiny but beautiful violet the state flower, the state bird. Honors were bestowed on the cardinal. So the birth of Illinois. I knew that you would get that. 1922, the first successful Technicolor motion picture, The Toll of the Sea, was shown at the shown at a theater in New York City. Wow, 1922. That had to be big doings back then. All right, let's get to birthdays. Can we have some music, please, Donovan? Yeah, they say it's your birthday. The young actress featured in two My Girl movies, Anna Chmielewski, is 29 years old. Jake T. Austin is Max of the Wizards of Waverly Place. Also the cartoon voice of Diego. He is 15 years old. Celebrating a birthday, Holly Marie Combs, 36, from Charmed. She was the middle sister in that show. I mentioned Brendan Fraser. He turns 41 years old. Ozzy Osbourne, you've seen him lately watching his daughter a couple weeks ago dance on Dancing with the Stars. Ozzy Osbourne, 61 years old, lead singer, of course, of Black Sabbath, turned into a reality television dad in the very popular reality show. Andy Williams, Moon River, had a television show, 82 years old. If you're celebrating a birthday, lean in close, blow out the candles, and thank God for another day of being alive on the planet Earth.
Please take your name off your phone. My wife went through my phone.